All right, Zechariah chapter number 8 tonight. Zechariah chapter number 8. And the message before us, really verses 18 through 23 are one prophecy. It's all together. We began looking at it last week. Last time we saw when the view of history will be revised, verse 18 and 19. And we saw how verse 19 declares that the four yearly fasts that commemorated the people's grievous disasters of the past would be transformed, changed by the Lord Himself from days of mourning into days of rejoicing in the future. Boy, we like a good turnaround, don't we? Don't you like it whenever, you know, maybe something has made you real sad and then all of a sudden something intervenes and you're turned immediately to joy. Well, that's the way it's going to be. The promise was that at a future time, these times of weeping, sorrow, and fasting are to become joyful experiences and times of great happiness and even feasting. Let's read verse 18 and 19 again. It says, "And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness." And notice he says, "and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace." So cheerful feasts will occur because the Lord is going to revolutionize their circumstances. We said that one day we too will have a new realization of the disappointments and tragedies that we are faced with in our lives. You know, life is not always hunky-dory, is it? You know, even after you're saved, there are some bumps that you in the road that you hit from time to time. There's some troubles and trials. There's some tribulations that come our way. But the Lord has overcome the world, and praise the Lord, one of these days we'll overcome with Him for all eternity as we'll leave these troublesome trials behind. Now, both our individual and mutual calamities, many of which no doubt we brought upon ourselves by our rebellion and disobedience, will be made clear one day as well, as Judah's will. And we too will become grateful for them because we will see through His loving eyes how God wanted to and did use them to bring us closer to Him. God uses trials that way. They come in our lives and say, "Well, why did God allow that to happen?" He wants you to draw near to Him. And you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. And He has a purpose. And we left off in verse 19 as the Lord, through the prophet Zechariah, exhorted them by these promises to love, truth, and peace, which we saw mirrors Paul's exhortation to us in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, that we are to let the truths of the Word of God rule our heart, our head, and our body. And we are to let the peace of God, Spirit, rule in our hearts. And we said that these are the terms man must meet if he would open the doors for God's promises and blessings in any age. All of God's promises should produce willing obedience to His precepts. Now we're going to see tonight in verses 20 through 23 when the nations seek God's favor. There's coming a time, and man, boy, it's going to be a big turnaround, isn't it? How many nations seek after the Lord today? None. They really don't. Notice what He says in verse 20. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also." Man, wouldn't that be a blessing? It is going to be a blessing, isn't it? Wouldn't it be a blessing today? He says there, "Yea, many people and strong nations," verse 22, "many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem," because that's where He's going to be ruling from, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You talk about your major changes. That's a major change, amen. And that's what the kingdom of God is going to be like. In these verses, we see that the time Zechariah is speaking of is that of the future messianic kingdom, the thousand-year rule and reign of Christ from Jerusalem. Now, the blessings of the Lord is going to flow out from the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem, and it will encompass all nations because our Savior's rule is a worldwide rule. This is not just a national rule. It's not just a rule over a particular area. It is a worldwide rule that the Lord will rule in the millennial reign. Now, the days in which the prophets Haggai and Zechariah spoke had been some very desolate times for the nation of Judah. I want you to think of the great task that they had of coming back to nothing but piles of rubble, because that's what there was. That's all Nebuchadnezzar left behind. Piles of rubble. In fact, it was so bad, the piles of rubble, that people didn't want to even travel through that area because there wasn't nothing there. Nothing grew. You know, it was rough terrain because of all of the stones. And they didn't want to deal with it. Well, think about coming back to Judah and think of the great task of rebuilding the temple, the city walls, and the nation as a whole from such great destruction and desolation, and while you're dealing with great opposition, because that's what they were doing. Ezra recorded the opposition to the rebuilding of the temple, and Nehemiah recorded the opposition to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. They had opposition. They've always had opposition, haven't they? They really have. It was no doubt a monumental task. You know, there's some tasks that's come before you, and you have the attitude of, I really don't want to deal with this. And I can imagine it was on that kind of scale. It was bigger than them. But listen, it was not bigger than their Lord. The Lord was able to use them to rebuild, and he did use them to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city, and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, the days since that time have had many troublesome and trying times as well. We know that. I want you to think of the oppression they faced in Jesus' day from Roman rule. And then 70 years later, think of the destruction of this very temple that they were building in the year A.D. 70, when the Romans scattered the Jews. Even in more recent history, the Jews have faced troublesome and trying times. We think of the Holocaust in World War II. And we just had a reminder this past week of D-Day and all that was done to try to undo what Hitler was trying to do, amen. Even now, though, I want you to think about it, even now, there is the continued oppression, there's threats and attacks from Israel's terroristic neighbors. There's the continued and growing worldwide oppression and lack of support of the Jews that will ultimately culminate in a future attempt to annihilate the Jews in the Battle of Armageddon. And make no mistake, when they cry out for Israel to be totally eliminated, they mean it. Their desire is to see there be no Jews anywhere, not just in Israel, but nowhere. They want a total annihilation of the Jews. Now, thinking on all this, one might wonder if God has forgotten the place of importance that he has given to Jerusalem and his people. But he has not. I just want to remind you, I know it's been recent that we were in the book of Romans, but turn to Romans 11. Romans 11, and I want to share with you a few verses here, just in reminder, because there are a lot of folks, and you hear them raising up in our day that, they're not God's people anymore. You know, they will go against the Jews. Well, people don't read their Bible. They haven't read the Bible. In Romans 11, Paul's very clear about Israel's future restoration. And he says here in Romans 11, and I want to look at the first six verses here. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There was a remnant in Elijah's time. There was a remnant in Paul's time. Paul was part of the remnant. He's saying, I'm proof that God's not finished with the Jew. And he says there in verse 6, and if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So it's by grace that this happens. Look at verse 25. Verse 25. He says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And by the way, there's a lot of folks that are ignorant of this mystery. He says, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What does that mean, in part? Well, there's still Jews getting saved today. There's still folks that are coming around realizing Jesus is the Messiah. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So we see that the Lord's not forgotten Israel. But in our text verses in Zechariah here, we have the nature and the magnitude of the future deliverance appointed for Israel. That deliverance is coming. Not only will fasting become feasting and mourning will become joy for the saved Jews and saved Gentiles coming out of the tribulation, but formerly heathen nations will go to Zion. The nations that used to be heathen, they will go to Zion, they'll go to Jerusalem, the dwelling place of the Messiah, to worship him and seek guidance of the Lord of hosts. It is at this time that the scales will fall from the eyes of the nations. At last they will see what great things God has done for his people. And not only that, but they will desire his blessings also. And that will come in elevating the people of God to their rightful place. The former unbelief of skeptical men will give way to the desire to receive the benefits which God gives. People everywhere will finally recognize that God's favor is gain. Now, notice in our text, notice the statement there in verse 20. It says, it shall yet come to pass. And the statement in verse 23, in those days it shall come to pass. The Lord's original intent for Jerusalem and for Judah, and in fact for all of Israel, was for them to be a light to the nations. They will be a light to the nations, and they will one day actually fulfill the Lord's original intent for them, no matter how impossible that may appear at this time. There's coming a day when the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, will shine forth from Jerusalem and from His people. Hold your place there in Zechariah 8 and look at with me, please, at Psalm 67. Psalm 67 that speaks of this future time. Psalm 67. It says here, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Just meditate on that a little bit. That's what that word means. To think about that. Pause. Have a meditation on that. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Now, we know that's yet future. There in verse 20 of our text, the term people is a collective term. The inhabitants of many cities emphasizes the great numbers. Now, understand that delegates, no doubt, will come from many major cities, if they're still around and haven't been destroyed. Washington, London, Berlin, Moscow, Paris, Peking, from all the cities of great importance that remain, people will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord and the blessing of His administration. They will not be doing their own thing. One of the things I hate about politics is the politicians are mostly in it for themselves. And that is the problem. When they have the Lord's interest at stake, that self-centeredness will all go away. They need to be focused upon the Lord. Now, verse 21 of our text indicates that finding the favor of the Lord will be a matter of shared importance and urgency. When it says the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, "Let us go speedily." And that shows the urgency there. Let's go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. We see the shared matter of importance and urgency there. The inhabitants of one city will go to another, and then both will go to the Lord to find solutions. And listen, the Lord's rule will be worldwide rule, not just regional rule. And at this time, they will realize that no one but the Lord alone has all the answers. We need to look to the Lord. And so these nations go to the Lord, desiring the favor and blessing of God, which Israel has received, so that they may know what's going on and what to do. Now, as I said, right now it seems like the rulers of the world know only how to work evil. That's all they know. In an evil world, they only know how to work evil and to accomplish their own wills. But in that day, they will realize that they cannot do that without severe repercussions. They've got to follow the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. And verse number 2. And this is looking toward that future time. It says in verse 2, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills." Notice, "And all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a blessing, amen. The people are going to go to Jerusalem for the dispensing of the ways of God, because the old ways of earth will have passed away, and the ways of God's kingdom will have come. And with that expression, I will go also, that's a wise response. Let us go speedily is as strong an expression as possible in what this is translated out of the Hebrew. It is very strong. Let's go speedily. It indicates both the intensity and urgency to do what they're saying. Now, we can see that the ways of the world will decidedly change during the Messiah's administration of righteousness and peace. So much so that there's an intensity and urgency to pray before the Lord and to seek His favor and instruction. Let's pause right there. That's what we still need to do in our day as believers. We need to see the intensity and urgency to pray before God, seek His favor and instruction. Now, verse 22 of our text there indicates that the Lord will truly be recognized as the Lord of all the earth in that day. They say, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. In the millennial age, Jerusalem will be the center of Christ's administration. And He will receive delegations like the one which came to Jerusalem in Zechariah's day. Look at Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. I wasn't going to have you turn to it, but I've got it in my notes. But let's look at Isaiah 11, verse number 9 and 10. Okay? Verse number 9 and 10 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Boy, that'd be great. It's going to be great. It's not that way now, is it? But it's going to be one day. And verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, that's Jesus, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, his rest shall be glorious. Amen. What a blessing. Jerusalem will no longer be regarded simply as the seat of Judaism, but as the center of the one true God's dealings with all nations. It will not be a cup of trembling anymore, as it is today, folks trying to get rid of the Jews. It will be, people will be drawn to that nation, be drawn to that city of Jerusalem. It will be accompanied by folks wanting to go there. Verse 23 of our text shows the entreating of God's chosen people by other nations. Verse 23 said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days, look into the future, it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, not to get rid of him, like they would today. You know, 10 people today try to see what evil that they could do against the Jew. He said, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. It will be accompanied there, the God's chosen people will be, we see the entreating there of God's chosen people up by other nations, and this first brings out two additional features of this international turning to the Lord. It will be accompanied by a recognition of the rights and privileges of the Jews. Won't that be refreshing? That will be refreshing. It will be motivated by reports about how the Lord has blessed them and how he is to be found in their midst. Yeah. Jesus is going to be right there in the midst of Judaism. Yeah. The Jews will have their kingdom that that was promised there to Abraham. And they will, the Son of God will be the one who will be ruling there. With the Davidic kingdom established, Israel will be a medium of blessing to the entire globe. Listen to Isaiah 55:5. Isaiah 55:5 says, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." Now, understand that not only will the formerly heathen nations pour into Jerusalem to seek the God of Israel, but they will also seek those that personally know him, that his special people. True spirituality will be an attraction to people instead of a deterrent that it is often today. People say, "Well, you ain't got to put your religion in my face." Well, I'm not putting any in your face. I'm just living the way the Lord wants me to live, okay? The Jewish remnant will be endowed with divine favor. Their previous state of scorn, their present state, will be their previous state of scorn and derision. It's going to be a thing of the past. Now, has this seeking and honoring of Jews ever happened in history? Not yet, because the phrase "in those days" points to the Messianic kingdom, when the Jews who have believed on the Messiah during the tribulation period are going to be honored by the fulfillment of this prophecy. It's going to happen. Yes. 10 is a number of wholeness there. When it says that 10 men shall take hold out of all the language, 10 is a number of wholeness. Our number system is based on the 10 system. All numbers meet it and start from it again. We have 10 fingers, 10 toes. When you're in the delivery room, you know, and your child's born, you're counting those fingers and toes because they're supposed to be 10, 10. I mean, I did it, both of mine, and that's what we do. Because it represents wholeness. The number is representative of completeness. Why are the people here in these verses zealously reaching out to the Jew? Because God is with the Jew. What better reason could there be? When this earth finally becomes a place where God is sought, those who know God will be seen as the prize that they are. Now, by and large, people today are disinterested in the Lord and His ways. We know that. People seem to distance themselves from those who walk with the Lord and are zealous for Him. And people generally do not desire to be taught by someone whom the Lord has His hand upon. You know, to get me away from them. That's their idea, because it's the wicked world that we live in. But one day, that all will change. People will become desperately and zealously interested in knowing the Lord's ways, and those that know Him, those that are in His favor, those who He has His hand upon, will be sought out. God has a future for His Jewish people on this earth. And in the concluding age of human history, God will make all things as He wills them, and His people will be blessed and become a great blessing. But listen, the millennium is just a prelude for eternity. It's a foreshadowing of what great blessings God has in store for all of those who are zealous for Him. Amen. Forever and forever. You think about what's in store for us. As 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10 say, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, we may not be able to know the completeness of it, but we got an idea. Amen. God shows us the glory to come. And with that glory, we will share throughout all eternity with our God. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truths of Scripture. Now, Lord, as we read the Scripture today, this prophecy of Zechariah that he delivered, your prophecy that you gave him, it seems almost unbelievable by the world with the current situation that we see with the Jews and even with us as believers. I mean, and the folks' attitude toward you and Jesus Christ. The hatred that they have toward the Jew is their hatred toward Jesus. And Lord, we know that you are a great God, and we know that every word that you speak is true. And it's just as surely as Zechariah penned these scriptures and they're given to us and we've read them and studied them tonight, we know without a shadow of a doubt you will bring it about. You will accomplish it. And Lord, help us to look forward to that time when they will take place. But Lord, help us to live in the light of your word. Live as if we know for sure that these things are going to take place, because they are. And we, who are yours, we have the assurance of salvation from the Scriptures, and we have assurance of the things that are to come our way because of salvation. And Lord, thank you for that blessed hope that we have. Just, Lord, help us to draw close to you in these last days as we see the world push farther and farther away from you and desire to harm those associated with you. Lord, help us to draw near to you so that you will draw near to us. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.